Off the Ball Rugby.
The story is it's because it's his son, but if it was whatever, Owen O'Brien, with that experience, it's his fourth Lions tour. He does it. This is meat and drink to him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we will preview tonight's massive Champions League tie at Tulke Park between Shelburne and Linfield. We'll hear from Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers after they defeated Cork City in Parkyqueeve last night. And we'll hear from Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca as his side booked their spot in Sunday's Club World Cup final. But first today, and Shelburne welcome Linfield to Drumcondra for tonight's first leg of their UEFA Champions League first round tie. Shells arrived to Tulke Park unbeaten in their last three games since Damien Duff's departure, including a victory last time out at home to Cork City. Linfield, meanwhile, are only beginning their season, playing one friendly with Welsh side Haverford West, who themselves qualified for the first round of the UEFA Europa Conference League, whilst they suffered defeat to Dungannon Swifts in last week's Charity Shield on penalties, 5-3. Shelburne are expected to have everybody fit for tonight, and they'll be able to focus on their European exploits. They are not penciled in for a domestic game until the tie in the FAI Cup with Fairview in 10 days' time. Winning this tie could earn either side a guaranteed €2 million and progression to the second qualifying round of the Champions League, which would guarantee themselves at least a playoff for the Europa Conference League group phase. The Reds and the Blues are no strangers to each other. They faced off in the now-defunct Setanta Cup final in 2005. Linfield ran out 2-0 winners at Tulke Park on the day. Shell's boss Joey O'Brien has been impressed with the Niffield Premiership champions, but he wants his side to go out and attack the game regardless of the opposition.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, what you'd expect out of a team as successful as they've been. Really good players, experienced players. Troy play, good brand of football. Front three, or centre forward, obviously a handful. Yeah, so it's going to be a really tough game for us, but look, it's a game that, especially here, we're looking to attack. We're going out to win the way we would against any team we play here, you know.
David Healy is nearly a decade into his Linfield tenure. Healy had a decorated career in the UK, coming through at Manchester United, before going on to have noteworthy spells with Leeds, Fulham and Sunderland. He also picked up 95 caps for Northern Ireland and scored a hat-trick against Spain in a 3-2 win at Windsor Park and the only goal of a 1-0 win over England in Belfast. With many building this clash as North versus South, Healy says that his side don't see it as an all-Ireland game.
We're representing Linfield Football Club. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for both clubs. When the draw was made, the opportunity to progress. I know with some of our journalists, we talk about the progression and the money, what you're guaranteed and what potentially you could get. So to European tie, first and foremost, we don't see it as an all-island game. And we don't want to get into that because, again, whoever we would have drawn in the first round, be it Inter Escaladas, who was possible, one or two other possibles, it's a European tie, and we'll gauge it on that. And as I say, you know, other people will talk about, because of course it's looking you straight in the face, it's obvious it's North v South, but it's not something that we've talked about in the dressing room. It's not something that I've talked about to the players to try and G them up. They shouldn't need G up. It's the first round of the Champions League. It's an opportunity for us as a club to come down to the Champions of Ireland. Deserve a Champions, by the way. Getting promoted in 2021, winning their first league in 18 years. So it's been a hell of a roller coaster for Shelbourne. They're now in the same position as us, first round of the Champions League, potential to accumulate a few pounds and most importantly progress in the next round.
Healy also told reporters that he is a big fan of the League of Ireland.
Again, I seen a lot of Shelbourne last year. I watched the league, and I know Jamie with quite a few of the other lads who would watch the league quite frequently when certainly it's on TV or maybe take it in. And I know myself and the chairman's here, Jamie and some of the players make the effort to come down to the FAI Cup final most years. I can't remember the last one I missed. We're always down, sort of watching. I like the league. I like the way it's played. I like the way it's advertised. You go to any ground, most grounds, there's a brilliant atmosphere. There's a brilliant crowd. Something, again, that everybody's trying to encourage in our league, to get people out, get the crowds coming to watch the games, and hopefully in time we can do that.
And Healy added the quality of players in the League of Ireland attracts him to the league.
I think just the quality of the players you see, and again, you know, the League of Ireland over quite a number of years of, you know, attracted good players to the league. And the majority of the younger players who maybe leave at 16, 17, they always come back to maybe their home base clubs, where a lot of our kids in Northern Ireland, the traditional route is you try and stay in England, and if not, they come back. They maybe have a year at Linfield or Glentoran or Cliftonville or Corian, and then all of a sudden maybe they don't find their feet, and then they maybe slide into the Championship and further beyond. So the League of Ireland will be good at introducing players who maybe don't make it in England. And you look at the, you know, the quality of the players that Shelburne have on show, Shamrock Rovers have on show, you know, players who, you know, somebody like Noonan will eventually go, but they're, you know, there's other players who have been tried and tested maybe in England or Scotland and come back and thrived in the league.
It has just been 18 days since Damien Duff left as manager of the League of Ireland Champions. Captain Mark Coyle says it's a new era for the club.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a new era. For Luke Gavers beside me, and I just think we're now, that's what we're focused on, making new memories. And that's basically what we're excited for, and there's definitely been a recharge, you could say, or a change, and we're just looking forward to it now.
And O'Brien says that his relationship is still strong with ex-manager Duff.
Yeah, listen, to be honest, a lot has changed, but a lot hasn't changed, really. It's still the same sort of thing. Obviously, I'm coaching every day. I'm out on the pitch every day. I had obviously a great relationship with the manager before, so I would have had a lot of say in a lot of meetings and took a lot of meetings and stuff like that. So, in a way, yeah, a lot has changed, but strange when nothing really has changed, if you know what I mean. It's just, you know, I pick the team now, I suppose. But again, I'm picking the team with the staff. With the way previously, I was helping the manager pick the team. Yeah, that's it, really.
Has it been in touch with him?
Ah, yeah, listen, I have a, obviously, personal relationship with the manager. It's a friend of mine, you know. So, as I said before, I think we'll stay friends forever, sort of thing. So, yeah.
The last European meeting between the two sides, north and south of the border, resulted in a 4-1 win for Shamrock Rovers over Larne last year. Linfield boss Healy says that that result shows how good Shelburne are, considering they won the league last season.
I didn't really know how good Shamrock Rovers were. I've seen them numerous times last year. They had a squad last year. Obviously with the European run and the success that they had in that, so it shows you how good Shelburne are, and certainly were last year and had to be last year. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, Shamrock Rovers, this is one of the greatest sides, best teams that they've ever seen in this country down here, and Shelburne won the league last year. So it shows you the level of talent, the quality, the success that the manager had. I know he's since left, and Joey looks as if he's, it's been probably a seamless transition. He's been in the dressing room. He's got the nod of approval from above. He's got the nod of approval, it looks like, by the players who he's worked basically as his second in command. It looks as if he stepped up. He's enjoying the role. He's got huge experience as a player in England. He's worked with good managers in England. He's represented Ireland at international level. So it's not as if they brought somebody in who doesn't understand Shelburne or understand the league. They brought somebody in with great experience and given the opportunity to go and manage.
Kick-off tonight at Tulke Park is at 7:45, and you'll be able to hear live updates from the game on tonight's Off the Ball from 7 with our own Stephen Doyle at the ground. This week's League of Ireland commentary will bring us to Dillymount Park on Friday as Bohemians welcome Galway United to Phibsborough. Steve-O will be joined by Richie Towell in the commentary box for that one. Last night in Europe, potential opponents for Shamrock Rovers, St Joseph's of Gibraltar and Belfast side Cliftonville drew 2-2 away in Gibraltar. The second leg of that tie will take place at Solitude in Belfast tomorrow week. Celtic defeated Cork City by 2-1 in front of nearly 27,000 spectators at Páirc Uí Chaoimh yesterday evening. Luke McCown put the hoops ahead in the first half before Matthew Murray equalised for Ger Nash's side midway through the second half. However, Colby Donovan bagged the winner for Celtic with just 3 minutes left. Celtic striker and Sligo native Johnny Kenny's future has been up in the air, as the striker only has 1 year left on his deal with the Scottish Premiership champions. Kenny told reporters that he wants to stay.
Yeah, I'd love to sign a new contract with this club. It's the club I want to play for at the end of the day. Since I came back in January, the manager, can't describe how good the manager's been for me, and obviously he wants me to sign new deals, so I think that's very promising for me at this club. I'm happy to sign a new contract.
And with World Cup qualifiers on the horizon for Ireland, Kenny wants to break into the national side.
Yeah, I'll look, the manager and make his decision on that. Obviously, wherever I am, I want to play football. I want to develop myself, and I think playing games is going to develop me. And obviously, I want to try and break into the national team, and I think playing games is the way I'm going to get into that team.
And Kenny feels that his manager, Brendan Rodgers, has a pathway for the 22-year-old.
I am whatever the manager decides. I think the manager will have a pathway for me, and I don't think he's going to keep me here and not playing me. So whatever the manager decides, I'm all behind, because everything he's told me since January has been 100%, so I believe in the manager.
And Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers wants a club for Kenny, who play in a similar way to Celtic. That's if he decides to go out on loan.
Well, yeah, I think we absolutely have done that. We've obviously done that with Johnny, going back. Yeah, we're always open for our young players to be tested at the best level that they can be. And obviously fitting into a... needs to be the right culture and the right football idea for a young player to come, because there's no point sending a young player to a club if they kick the ball long up the pitch and then they have to come to Celtic and play with 70% of the ball. So if we send players out on loan, there has to be that football philosophy so that they continue their education.
Cork City's Carlo Sullivan has been linked with moves away from the club, with Celtic, Crystal Palace and Everton interested. The 18-year-old told Red FM's Rory O'Hagan that Celtic are a cut above, while City have a big Munster derby with Waterford on Friday that they have to focus on.
Suppose they're always busy. Like, the movement is like top. Every single player is comfortable on the ball, they can all take it. But yeah, they're in around the box and stuff like that, they're all sharp, and then they'll just kill you on one pass, one movement. So yeah.
Obviously you guys have bigger fish to fry with Waterford on Friday night. How much confidence will tonight's performance give you heading into Friday?
Definitely. It's big momentum after that, where everyone getting minutes and stuff like that. All feeling fresh now. Have the day off tomorrow and come back in Thursday. All feeling fresh and don't see why we can't go and win again.
At the Women's European Championships in Switzerland, Group C was decided yesterday as Germany and Sweden both booked their passages to the knockout stages. Germany were 2-1 winners over Denmark, while Sweden comfortably dispatched of Poland by 3-0. England striker Alessia Russo says that they must play without fear if they are to progress at the Euros. They take on the Netherlands tonight after losing their opening match against France on Saturday. If they lose again and France avoid defeat against Wales, the Lionesses will be out of the competition. Russo says there can be no regrets.
We have so many great players and we want everyone to be as free as possible out on that pitch. It's a big part of what we are as a team. We have players that can create something out of nothing. So I think ultimately you have a game plan, but we've got individuals who can create a bit of magic as well.
Meanwhile, Wales' preparation for their crunch Euro 2025 clash with France were dealt a blow when the team coach was involved in a crash on the way to training at the St Gallen Arena. The Football Association of Wales confirmed no players nor the passengers in the other vehicle involved were harmed in the incident, but the team's scheduled session on the pitch, where they will face France in Group D this evening, was cancelled as a result. Head coach Rhian Wilkinson and midfielder Angerad James, who had travelled separately to the pre-match press conference at the stadium, were visibly shaken in a truncated appearance in front of the media before travelling back to their training base to be reunited with their colleagues. This evening, Wales take on France from 8 o'clock, while England play Holland at 5. Chelsea reached the final of the Club World Cup after 2 goals from new signing João Pedro helped see off Brazilian side Fluminense in New Jersey last night. The forward produced a match-winning performance on his full debut for the London club at the MetLife Stadium. Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca was delighted with the impact Pedro has already been able to make.
We know that a very good player against him that they defend deep, because he has quality to decide like today. I think another thing that it's important about Joao is that he was on holiday, so probably it's a bit more fresh compared to the rest. So happy for Joao, yeah.
Tonight, Paris Saint-Germain take on Real Madrid in the same venue in the other semi-final at 8 o'clock Irish time. Reports in Italy claim that Roma have been in contact with Premier League side Brighton to request information regarding Republic of Ireland international Evan Ferguson. Roma have made internal evaluations about the potential signing of Ferguson from Brighton, and in recent hours the Giallorossi have been in contact with the Premier League side to request further information. Ferguson, who has 13 Premier League goals from 60 appearances at the age of 20, has also been offered to Atalanta in the event that Matteo Retegi leaves for Saudi Pro League side Al-Qadzia in the summer. The bill to introduce English football's first independent regulator was approved in the House of Commons on Tuesday by a majority of 415 votes in favour to 98 against, making its passage into law this summer a formality. In a lively third reading of the bill, UK Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, Lisa Nandy, and UK Sports Minister Stephanie Peacock said football fans had waited long enough for a government to protect clubs from rogue owners. They also poked fun at the opposition benches for the Conservative Party's U-turn on independent regulation, despite their active support for the idea when they were in government, and pointed out that politicians from all parties had been talking about this for more than a decade. Spanish authorities have released their initial findings into the car crash that killed Liverpool striker Diogo Jota and his brother Andres Silva. Jota and Silva were driving on the remote A52 dual carriageway near the northwest city of Zamora, close to the Portuguese border, when their Lamborghini came off the road and burst into flames. The Athletic reported on Friday that investigators were working on a theory that the car had suffered a puncture to one of its rear tyres while overtaking a truck, causing it to veer off the road and into the central reservation. On Tuesday, Spain's Guardia Civil, one of the country's two national police forces, issued an update on the progress of its investigation. In its statement, issued through the Zamora branch of the Guardia Civil and its traffic division, it read, "The expert report is being carried out and finished, where, among other things, the tread marks left by one of the wheels of the vehicle are being studied. Everything also points to a possible high excessive speed over the permitted speed of the road. All the tests carried out for the moment point to the fact that the driver of the crash vehicle was Diogo Jota." The statement added, "The report, once finalised, would be handed to the court in Puebla de Sanabria, a town near where the accident took place." Earlier on Tuesday, Liverpool's players began returning to the club's training base in Kirkby for the first time since the end of last season. Many had attended the funeral of Jota and Silva 3 days previously. Flowers in memory of Jota had been laid outside the gates of the training ground, while banners are also hung on the wall outside. Liverpool are due to play Preston North End in their first pre-season friendly on Sunday at Deepdale, but it is unclear whether the game will go ahead. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.